a look back at Adam Aircraft. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Adam Aircraft's quick decline from preparations for production through layoffs and into bankruptcy in the last few weeks leaves its two distinctive aircraft designs in limbo. Today, we take a look back 2 years to February 2006 and revisit Jim Campbell's conversation with Adam Aircraft's head of sales, Joe Walker, at a time when things were moving forward, the first conforming A-700 had just flown, and expectations were high.
We're very excited here at Adam Aircraft. We had our first flight on A-700 serial number 2, which is our production conforming airplane. And it's a great step forward for the company.
So what happens from here on out? At this point, everybody has to consider the fact that now it got serious.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. Even though it was first flight on serial number 2, I tracked back, and it was the company's 9th first flight. If you count the 309 and then A500 1 through 6 and A700 1 and 2, so it was more of a production flight test card than an experimental flight test card. We'll put the airplane down and put the DAS, the digital acquisition system, in it here next week, and then the following week we'll start with our airspeed calibrations and go right into our takeoff and landing performance test.
Well, the airplane's got a fairly busy future ahead of it. It's going to be, of course, the primary aircraft for a certification program. If you could explain a little bit about what kind of future it does have, how many hours it's going to fly, what it's going to be doing, and what the current schedule looks like for a certification profile for the A700.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Serial number 2 will be our primary aerodynamic and propulsion platform. It is planned to go through probably somewhere in the 300 to 400 hour mark over the next 12 months here, and you know, it will be essentially the workhorse airplane for the derivative A700 certification program.
Now, you started with a quote unquote non-conforming vehicle. What did you learn from that? Was that, you know, obviously putting any vehicle together is a pretty expensive proposition. Why start with something that isn't conforming to future production environment? What did you learn from it? Was this a valuable step for you? Would you do it this way again? And frankly, how did it really differ from the aircraft that you're flying now?
Sure. We actually flew A700 serial number 1 to EAA in, was it, I believe, 03. I think it was our first flight. I lose track of time here. And that was essentially a proof of concept vehicle. And subsequently, we continued to upgrade that airplane with production-like parts. For example, when we first flew the serial number 1, it had the steam gauges in it, and we've upgraded that to the Avidynes. We put the fuel pod on it and made numerous upgrades on it to the point where it's probably closer to what I would call a pre-prototype airplane rather than a proof-of-concept vehicle. And if you compare it to serial number 2, when you compare serial number 1 to serial number 2, there's really not anything differently aerodynamically changed between the two airplanes. It's the same flight control system, same aileron, same flaps. Aerodynamically, at least from the profile perspective, it's the two is the same as one. What is different between 2 and 1 is more, if you would, with inside the aerodynamic profile. 2 has the production 3-tube instrument panel with the 2 PFDs and the 1 MFD. We've fine-tuned the window placements on serial number 2, and specifically on the right-hand side of the airplane, on the co-pilot side of the airplane, we put another window. We actually moved the windows so that when you're sitting in the left seat of the jet, you can see the right wingtip now. And that was something we learned, you know, from the serial number one.
Yeah, it's always nice to look out and make sure it's still there then.
Yeah. Well, it makes it a little easier to taxi the airplane, make sure you got enough clearance. The other thing we did was move the emergency exits back into the lab area. That was something that we picked up that would make it easier to have multiple interior configurations so you don't get a seat that would recline across emergency exit. The other thing we did was made larger baggage doors on serial number two compared to serial number one up on the forward baggage, external baggage area. And we put larger maintenance doors back in the boat tail. So I think that's kind of the top level differences between the two of them.
Well, tell us about the first flight on this new aircraft, and fess up, who held their breath the longest, you or Rick?
Well, it was a 34-minute flight, and it was left seat was Ken Sassine, who we brought over from the Hawker Horizon test program. They're finishing up their test program, so we were fortunate enough to get him on board. And then in the right seat was Bill Waters, who is formerly head of a flight test at Gulfstream. So we had quite a bit of experience up there. And when they came down, we did get a chance to shower them with politically correct apple cider.
Oh, dear.
We'll be back in a moment with more of Jim Campbell's 2006 interview with Adam Aircraft's Joe Walker. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today we're revisiting Aero News Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell's February 2006 interview with Adam Aircraft Head of Sales Joe Walker at a time when the world of very light jets was about to bloom.
It's going to be a busy year then. Cessna the other day who indicates that Mustang is on target for later this year, of course, and Eclipse hoping for end of second quarter. This is going to be easily the year of the VLJ.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. I think 2006 is going to be an exciting time for this part of the marketplace. And, you know, there'll be lots of events around the industry that'll just continue to focus on what a, you know, great technological evolution's happened here, you know, and two or three companies are all making it happen. And it's an exciting time to share in it.
Well, Monday, Gamma is going to be talking about what kind of year this industry had. Obviously, you're starting to add to those numbers now with the A500 and with the 700 looking up for the future. If you would, talk about your thoughts about the year we had as an industry and how 06 is looking for Adam overall.
You're talking about 05 and then looking forward to 06?
Correct.
Yeah, we were very excited. We've Gamma's going to have their official announcement next week, but we're on the page for the first time with two deliveries. just a little north of 2 million, and I'm sure when we look back, 10 years from now, we'll all have a good chuckle about having a $2 million revenue company. I mean, the smiles around the company were on December when we delivered our second airplane was that we doubled the revenue of the company in 1 month. We're, 2005 was a really, really good year for us. You know, we went from January 1 in 2005 of being in that group of people that are hoping to get certification to, actually getting through our baseline cert and delivering a couple of airplanes and growing our backlog and, making for a stronger company. 2006, we're equally excited about. We'll come up on our volume production on the 500, finish up some of our to-do list on additional certifications on the 500. And, if everything falls in place, we'll be able to have an A700 certified. So should be a good year again for Adam Aircraft.
How many 500s do you expect to roll out the door this next year?
Well, it's all a function of how fast we can come down the learning curve on making the airplane. And the curve's pretty steep. So, if you have just a small change in your rate of decrease of hours, because of the slope of the curve, you end up with a large change in deliveries. But specifically to answer your question, Jim, it looks like we'll do about 30 this year.
That's a certainly respectable number for first year production.
Well, one thing I looked at, Jim, was I went back over the last 20 years and looked at clean sheet airplanes, first year productions, just to try and calibrate that. Everything from Cirruses up to G5s, Lear 45s, Premiers, Citation jets. And it seems like everybody does somewhere between 30 and 50 in the first year.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an aggressive year for y'all between ramping up the 700 and Surge and figuring out just how to put 500 in people's hands as fast as you can. Sounds like you've got quite a year ahead of you. One quick question for you, if I may. Obviously, there's been a lot of controversy over the FAA's insistence on the need for user fees. And one of the things that they're using to validate that particular ideology is that the sky is going to be flooded by VLJs and that the system can't handle it, so forth and so on. Well, as somebody who's hoping to flood the sky with those VLJs, what do you think of those ideas and the system and your place within that?
I guess I'm having a little difficulty trying to understand the scope of the problem because today, as we sit, there's 10,000 turboprops out there. There's probably somewhere north of 10,000 business jets out there, and somewhere north of 10,000 airliners currently in the system. And so, let's just say there's 30,000 airplanes. And if you look at all the forecasts, I think everybody's saying, pick a number somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 VLJs in the next 5 years in round numbers. So, you're increasing the fleet size 10 to 15%. So that's one data point. And the other thing is, the beauty of these VLJs is when you go into big cities, and I'm just going to pick Denver since that's where we're headquartered, you've got probably half a dozen, for lack of a better word, reliever airports that you're going to go into because that's going to be closest to your destination. So it's actually going to scatter the airplanes out rather than concentrate them into, say, Denver International. I mean, that'd be the last place you want to go. So we'll see, but I don't have a clear understanding of that problem based on what I've just said.
No, that's an opinion shared by many throughout the industry. It just seems to be more than anything validation for something that they wanted to do anyway. Interesting.
Well, to me, it's a high-grade problem. If we got a lot of VLJs out there, that means we're making a lot of airplanes.
And that's not a bad thing.
That's right.
It's not yet clear whether a buyer will be found to pick up the pieces and put these two novel aircraft into full-scale production. The Adam Aircraft bankruptcy has borne out the observation that no matter how innovative you are, how many old problems you solve with new thinking, or how well you negotiate the regulatory process, putting an aircraft into volume production is a rare and expensive achievement. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.